Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we've been talking about, in our previous two segments, the peace powers of apocalyptic scripture from Daniel and the Revelation. Let's do a little review before we jump into our next topic fully. We have to intently examine the shared attributes of the four explicitly named beast powers in the scripture itself to understand what a beast power can be and what it cannot be. So let's quickly review those. And the beast powers that are explicitly named are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And all four of these rose up out of the sea, so they share that attribute. And they assimilated and conquered each other in succession, beginning with Babylon, then Medo-Persia, then Greece, and Rome assimilated all and conquered each one before it. So what we notice first is each of these four beast powers, when they rose up, they were individually original powers. Number two is each of them conquered and assimilated the ones before them and dominated the territory and people of its predecessors, having risen up from the same locality, the sea or waters or flood. The interpretation of the symbol waters from Revelation 17:15 as peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues verifies the like symbol as referring to the old world locality, where the flood would represent conquest or warfare. Okay? Three, none of these beast powers are a division of any of those preceding it. They only assimilate. Four, they all dominated the Israel of God before Christ, national Israel. After Christ, the church, the supranational Israel of God, along with the other nations around them. 70 weeks were determined for national Israel, which terminated with the final week during which the Messiah, Jesus, appeared to confirm the covenant, according to Daniel chapter 9 and Malachi chapter 3, for our second witness, after which the gospel went to the nations and God's chosen people became a supranational Catholic Church. And that's with a small c, not a Roman Catholic Church, but a supranational universal church. So, gives us some clues. So, can a division of the Roman Empire be a new beast? Not by the criteria given in the scripture. Okay? Let's continue this thought here so we can look at more at what the beast powers mean. There yet remain two unnamed beast powers preceding the four sea beasts of Daniel 7. These were previously named as Egypt and Assyria, both meeting the criteria as dominating national Israel immediately before Babylon, by whom they were both, along with Israel, conquered and assimilated. You getting the idea here? So we never see a beast power split off of a preceding beast, but each beast consecutively assimilates and conquers the beast before it. So we ask ourselves the question, what cannot? Some people say that the Jesuits are the second beast of Revelation, chapter 13. And well, no, they don't qualify. They are not a power over a locality that originated, not a division of something else, of another beast power. They just don't qualify as a beast. Okay? The Antichrist doesn't qualify as a beast. Now, he qualifies as the little horn, which had the mouth that spoke great things and blasphemies. He qualifies as the head of the beast. Of course, that head would be the Roman head, the little horn that subdued three others. Because he speaks great things and blasphemies, that makes him a religious character, or an anti-Christian religious character. What else do people say that this, some people say that the second beast of Revelation is somehow equated with the false prophet is the second beast. I've heard that before too, but how does a singular individual qualify as a beast? A beast is not a singular individual. It's a dominating governmental power over the earth. And there are only seven enumerated, and the false prophet is not one of them. And unfortunately, the only person, I know a lot of people believe that the false prophet is equal to the second beast of Revelation. Fortunately, I believe that idea was birthed by E.B. Elliott himself, because I found it goes no further back than him, and that was erroneous. If E.B. Elliott were alive today, he would plainly see by the evidence of the, you know, the line of fulfilled history being moved forward to revealing the truth that we're talking about today. So no, the false prophet cannot qualify to be a beast power or the second beast of Revelation 13. The second beast of Revelation 13 must be the seventh enumerated beast from Revelation 17 verses 9 through 11, because it is the only additional beast power that is enumerated anywhere in the scripture itself as a beast power. So it must be the same. And it cannot be an individual. It has to match up with the other six beast powers as dominating national Israel or supranational Israel, the Church of God, in both of its manifestations. Also, there is absolutely nothing in the scripture that ties the false prophet and the earth beast together. The false prophet is not named by that name, false prophet, in chapter 13 at all. The false prophet, I believe, is the antithesis of the true prophet, which would be Christ. So the false prophet is another name for the Antichrist. Okay, let's jump back to where we left off. In our last segment, we were talking about the earth beast creates an image. He, that is the earth beast, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Principle in our search for a divine interpretation on the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2, in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see an image of all of the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is Babylon, its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. Remember, the stone created without hands strikes the image in the feet, and it goes to perdition. It's blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for it. And then that stone cut out without hands becomes a great mountain, meaning hill, capital, and fills the whole earth. That's the symbology used there. So that's the first image and what it represents. Okay? In this second, chapter 13 image, created by the second beast, end time image, we see the amalgamation of all the powers of the earth in their final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. We have learned from Bible history and the temptation of Christ that it is Satan who comes to dominate all the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So with the dragon power firmly entrenched in the government of America, that draconic speaking horn, in the New World, World War I is initiated, and America lured to engage the conflict in the first beast locality, that is, the Old World. After which, the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations, an intergovernmental organization founded on January 10, 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. America is not yet ready, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League of Nations had failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted for 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same 20th century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire earth. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By the means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and to create and maintain international order, a replacement for the ineffective League of Nations. The organization was established on 24 October 1945, after World War II, with the aim of preventing another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City. The United Nations is the New World Order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June 1945 in San Francisco, and was signed on 26 June 1945 at the conclusion of the conference. This charter took effect on October 24, 1945, and the UN began operation. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 1960s, and by the 1970s, its budget for economic and social development programs far outstripped its spending on peacekeepings. After the end of the Cold War, the UN took on major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. America, with its 800 military outposts worldwide, is the primary police power of the UN. Following is a resolution adopted by the General Assembly on September 25, 2015, for transforming our world. the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And I got this from the UN page itself, and I'll go through these goals. And this will all be published at horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com within a week. So as you can see, there are some typos and such. I still have to go through it again with a fine-tooth comb. And I'm working on the next section, which will be the Mark of the Beast after this. But this is what they published as their 2030 agenda. There are 17 points here. Sustainable development goals. Goal one. And remember, this is for all of the nations of the world. End poverty in all its forms everywhere. Can you say socialism? End hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. Number three, ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Goal four, ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Five, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Six, ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Seven, ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. 8. Promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. 9. Build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. 10. Reduce inequality within and among countries. 11. Make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. 12. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. 13. Take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. 14. Conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine sources for sustainable development. 15. Protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation, and halt biodiversity loss. 16. Promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development. Provide access to justice for all and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. 17. Strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. As you can see, this list goes far beyond saving the environment or fighting climate change. It truly covers just about every realm of human activity. Another thing that makes this new sustainable development agenda different is the unprecedented support that it is getting from the Vatican and the Pope himself. And I'm not just saying this myself, as all this is footnoted for you. Under this Pope, this is a quote, the Vatican has become much more political than it was before. The world is just kind of taking notice right now. Although the Antichrist has been behind it all since the turn of the century, 118 years ago, since before that, really. But you can see it with World War I. This has been its agenda. Under this Pope, the Vatican has become much more political than it was before, and sustainable development has become the Vatican's number one political issue. You can see why, can't you? Want to rule the world as Rome did before? Let's do it vicariously. So no one will be pointing fingers at Rome. Yes. And did you notice that the language about the world's religions acting in unison? Clearly the Vatican believes it has the power to mobilize religious leaders all over the planet and have them work together to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And I believe if you go back to the encyclical Caritas in Veritate, you put that in your search engine, encyclical Caritas in Veritate, Charity and Truth, and you'll find that it is the exact same thing that are outlined in the 17 goals. This was birthed by the Vatican, and socialism and communism are all tools of the Antichrist. That's right, because they are Antichrist. Socialism is Antichrist. It's forced charity is not charity. It's socialism and it's communism. Communism forces charity. In America, the schizophrenic America, where we have this lamb-like horn and this draconic-speaking horn, well, we got a struggle here. Because I live in a land where most people have capitulated to socialism. And then there are a few people like me going, well, there's no law that says I have to participate. So I refuse the number. I've repented of any participation in the past. And I walk in liberty from it. And I don't see that changing in the near future. Okay, well, that's all we have time for in this segment. And so we'll continue this conversation in the next segment. Questions, comments are welcome from my listeners. So come on. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You are listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we've been talking about the peace powers of apocalyptic scripture, how to identify them, who they are, what they accomplish, what qualifies to be called a beast power and what is not a beast power. And I think we're just about done with that. And the work I'm doing will be published at horreapocalyptica.wordpress.com. And I believe that will be as, let me check out there and see what I've got published there so far. Go back here. I'm on volume 3 of the Horre Apocalyptica, and I have through chapter 5 of volume 3 published, and I'm ready to publish the next chapter, which I'm combining the two-horned lamb-like earth beast, the image of the beast's mark, name, and number will be under one chapter of, will be the next chapter. And then, as you can see, we're going to move on to the 1260 years of the beast's reign, and which is really should be previous to talking about the two-horned beast, because the two-horned lamb-like beast rises about the end of the 1260. So we may have to move the chapters around here a little bit if we're going to get some kind of chronological thing going on there. But anyway, subscribe to that at horreapocalyptica.wordpress.com, and that way you'll be notified whenever there's a new chapter added. Maybe I'll put that in the chat room right now. I really don't have a whole lot more to speak of, so a question or a comment or the chat room would be really helpful for this segment. Let me post that in the chat room. Where'd that chat room go? There it is. Don't have very many people left. Most people timed out. Paste. Okay, that link is now in the chat room to the contents page of Volume 3. horreapocalyptica.wordpress.com. Now, Carrie Ann in the chat room said, let's make a video go viral. Well, you know, I think the video that really should go viral, which isn't, is the one is seven parts, and I read the entire book online, and that is when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. That's the book that needs to go viral. That's the video that needs to go viral. I review the entire book, every single page in here. Many of the ideas we talk about today sprang from writing this book and other works, but they've been developed a little more fully because I figured if they're going to be included in a quincentennial edition of the Horre Apocalyptica, well, I got to pull out all the stops and get as exhaustive as I possibly can. And to tell you the truth, it can be a little exhausting and spending many, many hours every day on this one. It was easy doing volume 1 and 2 up to this point because, you know, the bulk of E.B. Elliott's work stands the test of time still. There's no new, you know, it's already all past. All of his research is beyond compare, well footnoted. It's all there. While I might not agree with every minutia of everything that he written, like I said, the bulk of it is sound. It's just when he got into this chapter 13 overview of the entire life and affiliations of this chapter 13 Earth Beast, he speculated on who the second beast was and what the image was. He had them being this pretty much the same thing, part of the Catholic Church. Not an image of a beast, but an image of the head, that is the Roman Catholic Church. Because the head doesn't become the whole beast. The whole beast exists from its beginning when the Roman Empire appeared, in its pagan form, and for nearly 700 years existed in its pagan form until the Catholic Church, it became its the apostate church became its religious head. Okay. So it can't be a division of, you know, the head power over that beast, over a portion of its time, to can't spring forth as another beast. And so that's been kind of the point of it. So just hope that all of the people, because there's a lot of Protestant historicists out there that kind of are going along those same lines. And so hopefully then they hear of the work I'm doing here and they read it for themselves. They can confirm it and make the same corrections that I'm making in this quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae, which I offer free online for everyone at horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com. I'm publishing each chapter as I finish it. So been working on this one for, well, weeks. Because if E.B. Eliot has it all correct and there's nothing to do, well, I'm just doing typos and fixing things up that he already did. Can't take any credit for that. But as far as this section here, there's a lot of work to do if I have to almost completely rewrite it. He has a lot of good stuff on the Mark of the Beast, which I will retain. It's just that he doesn't have a section on the implementation and enforcement of the Mark of the Beast. Is that how I did that? I don't know if I put that here. I don't have that at my fingertips because it's on my home computer, and that's the only one I have Office on, which I have to publish things in Office. So if I had Office on this computer too, but they want too much for it. Anybody got a copy of Office that they've thrown away with their old computer or something? Yeah. Anyway, it'd be nice to have a copy of Office on this computer too. But they still want a lot of money for that. I have OpenOffice here. That's what I'm using on this computer. Anyway, enough of that tech talk. See if we got any questions or comments in the chat room, or am I just going to have to nix this whole segment because I don't have anything else to say about all of that. Yep, nothing else to say about it. And that's all I brought over here with me. And I was thinking about doing had this idea of the sacred tenets of futurism. Of course, they're all unbiblical tenets. I want to do something on that, but boy, this project I'm working on right now is pretty big. It's going to take me probably till August to finish it, spending a lot of time on it. And my only reward is that I'm able to serve my Heavenly Father and other people, and His church is edified by that work. That's latest news, breaking stories, court rules temple Israel's on Temple Mount may not call out. So they're still arguing over whether they can pray or whatever on the Temple Mount. Let's see, the Lost Ark and the future of the Temple Mount. But nothing about the temple building. Let's see, Israel Temple Mount rebuilding. Let's see what they got there. Rebuilding the third temple archives. Temple will be rebuilt on Temple Mount and no terror will stop it. That's what they're saying. And, well, you know what I believe about that if you've read my latest book, is I believe they will attempt to build a Temple Mount for animal sacrifice, but it will never be done. So they will build a temple-type building on the Temple Mount if they're ever build anything at all there. And I think that's the way it's going. Is they're going to build a temple-type national synagogue on the Temple Mount, but there's not going to be any animal sacrifice there. That will not be allowed by the Antichrist. I think it's this fantasy that the futurists have, that the Antichrist is some character is going to show up at some time is a full fantasy, because the Antichrist is already here. And the Antichrist is already in charge of the monetary system. The Antichrist loves socialism and communism, and that's why you see it spreading all over the world. He loves mixing things up and tearing things down. Anything Protestant, of course, he's really had his way in his counter-reformation war on Protestant thought. And that's what's really going on. He's already in charge of the money and the Temple Mount. But there's some things he can't control. You know, it's like even though, you know, he wants to get that temple built, but the timing is right, or he may already have it timed. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Some things they don't tell us, but I don't think the Antichrist will allow animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount, simply because the Antichrist already has his own counterfeit sacrifice. And he won't allow blood sacrifice. He already has his bloodless counterfeit sacrifice that they practice daily, weekly, in all of the Antichrist churches throughout the world. They're already practicing a counterfeit sacrifice. And it's the counterfeit sacrifice is the sacrifice of transubstantiation. So they will not allow it. They will do everything in their power to prevent an animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount. The Antichrist will not allow it. Now, the scripture plainly tells us the Antichrist rules the world at the end. The only thing the futurists don't know, because they've been told, you can't know who the Antichrist is. He will only be revealed after the rapture. Yeah, well, good luck waiting for that. When you're Protestant fathers knew 500 years ago who the Antichrist was, and loudly proclaimed it and shouted it everywhere. Even their Reformed churches today don't even mention it. Not a word about it. They've forgotten all about it. Yeah, they've forgotten all about the effect of the two proclamations that were really the seeds of Protestant historicist thought on eschatology. Yeah, Protestant historicist thought on eschatology. And those two revelations, one, that the Roman Catholic Church was, is, and always will be the historical and biblical great apostasy that was foretold. And the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist and ruled the world for 1260 years. Though he was wounded, the scripture says, and they repented not of their murders and their idolatries and their fornications. They repented not. And it tells us that the deadly wound, as it were to death, is healed. And it is healed now. And it describes the kingdom as he rules it again under that healed head, as was and is not yet is. Meaning that it doesn't appear to be what it is. It's a mystery. He vicariously rules the world now through the image of the beast with the help of the second beast of Revelation. Yeah. So we are in that era, the final era, where these three powers, these two beasts come together and create this image. One creates an image to the other through which it may vicariously rule the world. And I take a little comfort in the fact that these two horns of power in this earth beast that dominates the locality, the New World northern area of the continent anyway, where I live, I don't see one overpowering and supplanting, or one horn going away. I see this constant struggle, and it's still here today. And since it seems that the draconic speaking power is centered in Washington, D.C., whereas the liberties, well, it's kind of hard to see, but read the book Rulers of Evil, and for the most part, though I think he diverged toward the end of the book and some got carried off on some kind of thing about the seed of Cain or something like that, or anyway, but for the most part is exposition on the founding of America and the influence, the dragon influence through that counter-reformation Jesuit army in the establishment of the Constitution for the United States of America. I believe that you'll find that very compelling. And that's something that really needs to be exposed more. I would like to see more works done on that, perhaps, because I've thought about it myself, diving deep into that. But, we'll see where the Lord turns me after I finish the quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae. Perhaps I can do another Rulers of Evil 2 or something like that to focus more on that and expand upon it, the effect throughout the life of that. There should be plenty of reference work for me there. And if you know any reference work that clearly shows that, although I have a very good idea since I've been doing a lot of research that exposes that. And with that in mind, I mean, after you read that book, you start seeing the influences everywhere. The draconic influences of that horn, that division of this earth beast in not only in the nation here, but in the world at large. It becomes all too obvious. Okay. Never listened across the border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. We get together once a week here on Wednesday, and hopefully I can do a presentation that is compelling enough to keep you interested and keep you, keep you edified and spark your thirst and hunger for good exposition of the apocalyptic work in the Bible. You check the chat room, see if we got any comments. Let's see. We'll post a 7-part playlist on Facebook. Thank you for that, Carrie Ann. So America is the earth beast in the image of the UN? Question mark. She says, absolutely. You know, I question myself because, you know, I'm trying to get this right, especially when I'm standing up against a giant like E.B. Eliot, and the bulk of the work that he did is so well done and so exhaustive. I have to, you know, because a beast has to be a beast. And since the seventh beast power is identified as a beast, and we realize comparing it to all of the beast powers that are enumerated, it can't be anything but this earth beast. Yeah, thank you for that, Carrie Ann. Dale says, United States is the second beast, and the earth beast, United Nations, or the earth beast, United Nations is the image of the beast. I just can't imagine how it could be anything else. What else could the image be? It has to be an image of the first beast. And it's an image. It's not the true, but it's an image that fits the persona of the beast at the end time when it is described as was and is not, yet is. Nobody recognizes it. I mean, you got people out there that are still looking for the revived Roman Empire. It was, is not, yet is. It means that you're not going to recognize it. It never went away, really. It's only being revived under that head, but vicariously. I'm sure, and it seems that it may be exposed at some time when the beast itself and the ten horns turn on it and destroy it. And I'm not sure, I'm thinking, is that future or is that pointing to the past when the ten horns did turn on the beast following the French Revolution, during and following the French Revolution? The ten horns are in the locality of the sea beast or the old world, and they turned on her and they destroyed her with fire. And so we see that the punishment fell on the seed of the beast. Well, we have a lot more to talk about, still a lot yet unknown. And I want to thank you all for showing up today. You've been listening to Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. May the Almighty bless you as you continue walking in His kingdom day by day.